Now, I've got your attention, haven't I? Got your attention. We have intermarried with the world. In this context, I'm not talking about physical marriages. But many of us as individuals, many congregations are married to the world spiritually. I'm talking about spiritual marriages now, okay? Spiritual marriages. Our relationship to God, right or wrong, our relationship to God is a spiritual marriage. Does the Bible teach that? Let's look at some passage. Somebody that doesn't mind reading, I want you to give some input, okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. And somebody that doesn't mind reading, have Ephesians 5, 22 through 31 ready. Ephesians 5, 22 to 31. But before we read that one, I want us to look at the relationship we have with God. And it's a marriage. It's a marriage. Somebody read Romans chapter 7, the first 6 verses for us. And I may stop you along the way, I may not, depending on what kind of mood I'm in. Okay, stop there just a moment. Be ready to continue reading in just a moment. What is that? Somebody tell us what she just read. What is Paul saying there? That's not difficult to understand. What's he saying? All right, marriage is to death do you part. Okay, and that's what you're fixing to read about exactly. Our relationship to Christ. But marriage is until death do you part. Would you agree marriage is a commitment? Marriage is a commitment, isn't it? And so, when you stand before the preacher or the justice of the peace or whomever, and you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, and you take this husband to be your lawfully wedded, this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, until death do you part. This is a commitment to that man, commitment to that woman, a commitment to God for the rest of your lives. Yes, ma'am. Speak up a little louder, Kathy, please. I'm sorry. Okay, you can't. Okay. Oh, betrothal, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what we would call the engagement, the betrothal period, in which it was as if they were married. That hadn't come together yet, but that commitment, exactly. Okay, appreciate it. Anybody else? So we're talking about in marriage, in the physical marriage, then this is a lifelong commitment. For the rest of your life, no matter what. Now, in the New Testament, the Lord does give one exception, but that's not our study this morning. But we're talking about a lifelong commitment. Okay, now, what does that have to do with the church? What does that have to do with our relationship with God? Continue reading, please. Very good. Thank you. Now, so notice, therefore. Now the word, what's the word therefore? Uh-huh. In other words, therefore is there because of what has been before. What's been said. So therefore, what the reason what I'm about to say is based upon what I've already said. So therefore, based upon this commitment that we have in our, you know, not based upon, but just like we have this commitment in our physical marriages, then he says, therefore, brethren, he says, you also, like the husband and wife, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now, he's telling these brethren, these Christians, that they're dead to the law, to the old law of Moses. Become dead to that. And guess what? And we are, verse 4, you may be married to another. You see, Israel, physically, Israel had intermarried with the peoples of the land. They had not separated themselves from the people of the land. Now, Paul is reminding these brethren that they must separate themselves from the law, and they must be married to Christ. You can't be married. Well, you're not supposed to be married to two at once. You know, when you're married to two or three people at one time. What's that called? Yeah, just checking to see if you knew. Polygamy. Yeah, polygamy. You know, we can't be. Polygamy is illegal. It's illegal in the law of the land. It's illegal spiritually. Can't be married but to one. And so we're married to Christ. Brethren, in this gospel meeting, every lesson is going to be designed to help me. And by the way, every sermon I preach to you, I've already preached it to me. You know, I preach it to me as I prepare it. I preach hard. You know, those of you who know me know that. I preach hard because I love you. And so these lessons are going to be designed to help me first and to help you renew our commitment to our Lord. I want us this week, I want you to join me this week in recommitting, rededicating your commitment to your Lord this week, as we work together to study God and as we study God's Word. Now, so married to Christ, to Him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit for the Lord. Brethren, you know, in the marriage relationship, God told Adam and Eve, first married couple, He told them to multiply and replenish the earth, didn't He? To produce fruit, if you will, from their relationship, their marriage relationship. Now He tells these brethren in Romans, in the book of Romans, He tells these brethren that they must produce fruit. Brethren, you have a beautiful auditorium. I commend you and compliment you and rejoice with you. Kind of rejoice we don't have that debt back where I am. But I rejoice with you that you've got a beautiful building. The Lord has provided you with a tool, guess what? To produce fruit. Amen? To produce fruit for Him. You are married to the Lord. The Lord says, now go produce fruit. Win souls for the Lord. Any questions or comments over anything we've said thus far? All right, let's look at another passage. Ephesians chapter 5. Stop there. Just a minute. Be ready to read verse 32 in just a minute, brother. Thank you so much. Now, this is basically the same thing, different words that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7. He's talking about that marriage relationship. He talks about the husband and wife being committed to one another. And he talks about the husbands are to, wives be submissive to the husband. Husbands are to be the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. How many sermons have we heard? Oh, I've preached a bunch of sermons from that passage on marriage. And rightly so. Rightly so. You know, that the husband is the... I remember one place when I was preaching on husband being the head of the wife, and I read that, and in my lesson I said, now men, husbands are the head of the wife. That doesn't mean we're the boss, okay? There's a difference in being a boss and a head. And so he isn't the boss. We are the head of our wives. And we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And I preached my heart out. And when I got through, somebody was going out the back door, and I heard him say to his wife, this happened to be a couple that was having some marital problems, but I heard him say to his wife, see, I told you I was the boss. Where did I go wrong? You know. No, husbands is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Savior the body. So that talks about that relationship. Oh, you know, and brethren and friends, listen, most of us in this room, and I hope everybody in this room this morning, are passionately committed to your wives and to your husbands. I hope that you have that commitment that nobody and nothing is going to interfere and sever that beautiful relationship that you enjoy as husband and wife. Ephesians 5 stresses that. But guess what? You already know this. Paul isn't talking about the marriage there. He isn't talking about the family marriage. Listen to what he says. Verse 32, brother.
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Amen. Yeah, I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about Christ and the church. What's he doing? He's using a relationship that those brethren easily recognize. The husband and wife relationship. That marriage relationship. He's using that to illustrate the relationship between Christ and the church. My wife is married to me. I am married to her. We are married to Christ. He is the husband, and the church is the bride. And so let's not ever forget that commitment that we have. Now, any questions or comments so far of this commitment? See, Israel had intermarried. They had not left the peoples of the land. They had intermarried. Many times in the church today, we are intermarrying with the world. In Psalm 85, verses 6 and 7, the psalmist says, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy and grant us your salvation. Psalmist praying to the Lord for mercy and for revival. Now, what I want us to do now for the rest of the time, we've got about 15 minutes left in the class. We've talked about the importance of putting away our strange wives. That is, our spiritual wives. Our strange. I'm not talking about the one you live with, okay? She may be strange. She's probably not as strange as you are, Ben. I'm not getting into that one. But we need to put away our strange spiritual wives today. And Ezra, later, the people told Ezra. And Ezra told them what God said. And we will put away our strange wives. Well, today, there are some strange wives that need to be put away, spiritually speaking. Number one, some things I thought about and would like to hear from you as well. We need to put away. Number one, I suggest to us, as a preacher, I always start with me. You know, now, as we need to put away, we need to stop our mealy mouth, afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings preaching. I didn't hear very many. I heard one. We need to stop our mealy mouth, afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feeling preaching. You know, last week at home, not different lesson, it wasn't this sermon, but last week at home, I told my brethren, I said, we're talking about church growth, and we're talking about increasing for the Lord. And listen, I said to him, I am not afraid of my job. That's kind of stupid to say, I guess. I don't know publicly. But anyway, I said, I'm not afraid of my job. And if I am the reason that you are not committed to the Lord, if I'm the reason you get bored every Sunday, if I'm the reason that you just are not growing, if I'm genuinely the reason that you're not growing in the Lord, give me my packing, give me my pink slip. Get rid of me. And I mean that from the depth of my heart. You know why I mean that? Because the church is more important than any one person in that church. Amen? The church is more important than any one person. If it's the preacher, if it's the elders, if it's whoever it is, the church is more important than any one person in it. This is the Lord's church. And it's important to Him. So if I'm the reason that you're not growing, get rid of me. But if you've gone through a few preachers, and you're still not growing, and you're still bored, you might want to look at yourself. You know, it might not be the problem, might not lie where you thought it lied. Like, but we preachers need to be bold in our preaching. Now, not arrogant. Not arrogant. But Paul cautions us in Ephesians chapter 4, about verse 15, that we're to speak the truth. How? In love, right? Preach the truth or speak the truth in love. We don't have a right to be arrogant at any time. You see, Ezra was bold. Not arrogant, but he was bold. If you take time to read chapters 9 and 10, especially, of this book sometime, he was bold in his preaching. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Apostle Paul asked the brethren to pray for him. Now, this is an apostle of the Lord. He asked the brethren to pray for him that he might speak boldly, boldly, the things that ought to be said. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation, to everyone that believes, Jew first and also to the Greek. Brethren, it seems that in a day, and see, I won't see some heads go this way, or I don't know, when I ask this question. Do you not agree that we're living in a day in which far too many of our congregations are becoming married to the world? We have our instrumental music. We have our, praise teams. That's not the one I had in mind, but yes, our praise teams. And you have a traditional worship. What's the other term? I always have trouble with that. Contemporary worship, you know, which of course includes the praise teams perhaps. And we're having women, more and more women are taking a leadership role in our public worship services, you know, assemblies. More and more of them. So I said, well, I'm sure glad that's not in our state. Don't fool yourself. We need a revival in the respect for truth and for the authority of Scriptures. And that they're and the fact that they are binding upon us. We need wisdom. We need to pray for wisdom that God will steer us away from these unscriptural spiritual wives. I missed it, Kathy. I'm so sorry. What's... Okay, Kathy asked a question, if I understood it correctly, is, you know, at home, how do they, the women start taking a leadership role in the home, and then it comes into the church? She says, how does that happen? Anybody want to respond? Is that a question, Kathy? Does anyone want to respond? Thank you. The lack of strong male leadership. Ezra was a bold preacher, wasn't he? Ezra was bold. Not arrogant, but he was bold. He took a leadership role. And that's one of the reasons, you know, one of the reasons I read, had us to read in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And think of brother something since you brought that up. First Timothy chapter 5, I believe it is. Paul says that a man that will not provide for his own is worse than an infidel, unbeliever. Now, apply that spirit. If that's true in a physical way, how much more is it true spiritually? But men, it's our responsibility to make sure that our home is the spiritual home that God wants it to be. It's our responsibility. Far too many of us leave it to our wives. But it's our role to make sure that our home is guided according to God's will. And so, Kathy, you know, guess what? This church here, this congregation right here, guess what? It's only as strong as the homes that make it up, right? This congregation is only as strong as the homes that make it up. Years ago, I hadn't heard it lately, but they say our nation is only as strong as the homes that make it up. Well, that's true. This congregation, the congregation with which I work, every other congregation, is only as strong as the homes of which it consists. Okay. Secondly, another thought that I had in overcoming this these strange marriages, putting them away. We need members. Not only do we need preachers. You know, I started out with us preachers, okay? But now let's go a little. We need members. We need members who will put away lukewarmness. We need members who will put away lukewarmness and get serious about serving the Lord. It's time to get serious, brethren. You know, y'all have got a great opportunity. Brand new building. Brand new preacher. To join with you, to work together in his family. Oh, what a great opportunity the Lord has provided for you. Now, get serious. I'm not suggesting you haven't been, because I haven't been here. But you know, if you're not serious, and I think the congregation is serious, what about you as an individual in the congregation? Are you serious about serving the Lord? See. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, 14 and through 22, I'm not going to read those because that clock runs fast back there, I can see. But Revelation chapter 3, the church at Laodicea, the Lord said to that congregation, he said, you know what? I wish you were hot or cold. But because you're not hot nor cold, what am I going to do? What's he going to do? I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You make me sick. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? But isn't that what he's saying? You make me sick. Can you imagine the Lord saying that? You make me sick at my stomach. Either get hot or cold. One or the other. Acts 2:42. You know, the early church, the Bible tells us that the brethren on that day, what did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers, didn't they? They continued steadfast. That means, I think I heard someone say it, strong, faithful. They continued their commitment. They were committed to the Lord. Now, did they make mistakes? Yes. Yes, they weren't perfect, but they were committed to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable. Somebody says, that's me. Couldn't move me with a stick of dynamite. I don't think that's what he's saying, is it? Be immovable. Don't be swayed by these false, you know, these strange wives spiritually. Don't be swayed by these new inventions. Don't be swayed by these change agents that we have trying to change the church today. Thirdly, not only do we need preachers who will boldly preach the truth in love, not only do we need members who will put away their lukewarmness, but we need also members who genuinely love God. Genuinely love God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, God said to Israel, He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. What's He say to us today? You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Same thing to us today. We need brethren who will love God with everything. This morning I'm asking you, do you love, I'm not asking for a response, but except in your own mind, do you love God? Can you honestly say this morning that you love God with every fiber of your being? Secondly, we need brethren who love one another. Do you love one another, brethren, here? Do you really have a genuine love for one another? Listen to what the Bible teaches. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, John writes, Beloved, he says, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves God is born, or who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You can't love God whom you have not seen if you don't love your brethren who you have seen. We need to love one another. How about the brotherhood? You love the brotherhood? Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood. Do you love your brethren across town? Do you love the brethren at Lexington? So who are they? Do you support good works in our brotherhood? Gospel meetings, lectureships, youth rallies, and I know some of your young people went, several young people went to youth rallies this weekend. Great, wonderful. Love the brotherhood. Be concerned about what's going on in the brotherhood. Commitment. We need brethren who love lost souls. Does this church, and I'm not asking, indicting or anything, this is not an indictment. Does this church genuinely love lost souls? Say, only you can answer that. I don't know. I've got a feeling you do. I hope you do. But do you love lost souls? Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus tells us, go into all nations, teach everybody, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Bell hadn't rung, has it? Has it? The first one has rung. Okay, well, I don't know where I was. I didn't hear it, but anyway. Okay, y'all just kind of let me know when it's time to hush. Real quickly, Not only do we need preachers who will preach boldly, we need brethren who will also put away lukewarmness, brethren who will love one another, love God, love the brotherhood. Finally, we need elderships in our brotherhood today who will lead the flock down the straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. Thank God for good elderships. I'm convinced that you have an outstanding, awesome eldership here. I serve under a great eldership. Men who love God, who love the souls. Acts 20:28 and following. Elders are encouraged or admonished by Paul to feed the flock which is among them. Hebrews 13:17. You and I are commanded to obey them, be submissive to them. But why? One day they are going to account. They're going to account to God for their leadership. And finally, we need a revival in the proper respect for Scripture among all men and all women in and out of the church. We need a revival of respect for authority of the Scriptures in our nation today. We need to be praying for our nation to come back to God. Well, we'll go quit. I had more, but I'll hush. It's time to stop and get ready for our worship. Thank you so much. Any quick comments before we dismiss? Let's pray together, please. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we've had to spend a few minutes in study of your word. It's our prayer, Father, that we have had the proper respect, reverence for your word and its authority. We pray that our time has been used wisely. We pray that each of us has been challenged to examine our commitment to you. And Father, we pray for wisdom that we might renew that commitment to be more like you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.